We're going to read two passages. First, we'll read Psalm 2, and then we'll read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Psalm 2 is the text we looked at yesterday, and I think it connects well with the passage from Matthew chapter 2. Psalm 2 is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree that the Lord said to me, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Let's now turn to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2. I'll read the verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, the verses 1 to 12. We read, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced greatly with exceeding joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray for understanding. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. As we have read your word, we pray, Lord, that you would teach us the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Open, O Lord, the eyes of our heart, that we might see it and understand it. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, yesterday we looked at Psalm 2, where we saw the promise that God would send his Son and make him king over all the earth, because mankind had rebelled against him. Now today we fast forward to the first century, to Bethlehem, a town in Judea, of which it was promised in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. A ruler would come from Bethlehem, a ruler who is from of old. In other words, he was already alive when Micah prophesied this prophecy. He is an ancient, mysterious kind of term, one who is from of old, a supernatural ruler. Years and years passed in Bethlehem, and David arose or had arisen before Micah, but no new David arose from Bethlehem. This little town just stayed small without a king rising from their midst. The nations received no king to make peace with, as in Psalm chapter 2. No one to find our ultimate refuge in. Until something unusual happens in the heavens. A star arises. Matthew describes how wise men or magi coming from the east came looking for a king. As they tell King Herod, "We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." You can almost see this group of men often in history or tradition described as three men, maybe 12. We don't know the number of how many there were. They came to Bethlehem because at one point they saw a star rising. Not a star just sitting there in the sky, but rising when they looked. And as they had done their research and they began to travel towards this star, they came to Jerusalem. They came there to King Herod because who else would know where the king would be, where this star would arise for? But Herod has no idea. Well, finally, after consulting with the religious leaders of the time, they know it has to be in Bethlehem. And as they go out, they see the star and they begin to travel to this small town until they find a small house in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph's house. And as they come in, they see a boy, probably not a newborn at this time, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 2 years old. He's been there for a while. They're no longer in the manger. They're now in the town of Bethlehem, in the house as it's described. They enter this house and they see the boy. And these wise, rich men, these wise men from the east, fall down on their knees and worship this boy. They pay homage to this king as they would worship a god in their religion. And maybe these are, and this is me speculating, maybe these are the offspring or the students, in a way of offspring, of Daniel, who was serving in the east and who had prophesied the coming of Christ in different ways as the Ancient of Days. Maybe they're part of this school that were students of Daniel, who himself was a wise man from the east. And maybe they knew exactly for whom they were bowing down, the king under Yahweh. Why did Matthew record this event? Why do we never hear from these wise men again? They go back and that's it. We don't read it in Luke. We don't read it in Mark or John. Why does Matthew record this passage? Well, I want us to consider this well-known story and history through three questions. Who were these men? Who were these men looking for? And who did these men find? We will close with the question, who should we be looking for? Let's begin with these men. Who were these men? Well, there are a lot of traditions, and there are a lot of pictures you may have seen growing up. There are a lot of stories, but Matthew simply explains that they were the word magi, wise men from the East. The word magi this time refers to scientists of all kinds at the time, wise men that were seen as people that were very educated, that could explain dreams, but they all would be men that would study the stars, would be counselors to important people, to kings in the East. And these wise men, it doesn't say that they were kings, they were men. Whether they were three or more, we do not know. Tradition says three because they bring three gifts, but 12 people could have brought three gifts. We know that there's at least two because it's plural. We don't know. Our text simply says they were these wise men coming from the East who had seen a star arose. So why did these men appear in Matthew's gospel? Why did God show these men a star to make them travel all the way through and to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem? Well, I don't think that this passage is meant as kind of a little passage that we can speculate and come up with ideas and spiritual implications of all kinds of things that we don't know. I don't think Matthew wrote this story so we can depict them in a stable and all of that, even though there's nothing wrong, I think, with depicting some men on camels and all of that. I don't think this is written for us so we can speculate about the spiritual meanings of the gift, even though there are good reasons why we might say, well, this is a royal gift, or maybe myrrh is for the burial already future. We don't know what these men knew. I think Matthew has a different reason, and it's a reason that we might easily miss. It is not, these men are not there to adorn this beautiful picture. They're really to teach us a beautiful message. You see, Matthew is the gospel that is written, especially with the Jewish audience in mind. He is always quoting the Old Testament. When you read through it, he often says, "This is to fulfill," and then he quotes the Old Testament. He's constantly showing the Jews that they need to come to their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Matthew is very intentional in showing the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior of Israel, and the King of Kings. And this is why Matthew focuses on the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy all throughout his gospel. He wanted to show his people, his Jewish countrymen, that Jesus is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. He wanted to show them that the promised Messiah has come that fulfilled many, yes, all the prophecies. So what does Matthew 2 have to do with the Old Testament? Why is Matthew 2 describing in detail where these people came from and what they brought? Well, I think Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is the fulfillment, or that these messengers are also part of the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 7. Listen to this and see if you can see the wise men appear in Isaiah 60, 1 to 7. "Arise and shine, for your light has come." You see that same language, the arising of the star, which depicts Christ. "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." It's talking about Israel, and the surrounding people will see the glory arise on Israel. "And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. That describes the return of Israel to the land there. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those of Sheba shall come. Sheba, of course, is where the queen of Sheba, the queen from the east, came from. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. I think Matthew is revealing that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise in Isaiah. I think the things that he's highlighting are the things which connect to this, which what Matthew really is saying through this and what God is saying through this by bringing these with these specific gifts to Mary and Joseph and to Christ is like great arrows pointing towards Christ and saying, listen, the great gift and the light that is shining upon your people is born as a babe. The glory of Israel has come into Israel, and it's Jesus Christ. The Old Testament speaks in different places of the coming of the Messiah hundreds of years before. The light of the Messiah would not just attract the Jews. It is their Messiah, their Savior. And yet, people from all over the world would come towards this Messiah. People who would bring gifts and worship the God of Israel who came from afar. Just as in the time of Solomon, the great and wise king, who was visited by the queen of Sheba, who brought him gifts, so now again, people from the east are coming to bring gifts and to gather at this wonderful king. Matthew is showing us that Jesus was more than a king for the Jews only. He was born the king of the Jews and the Gentiles. Of the people of the Old Testament, the chosen people, and yes, all people were called to come and bow down before this king. Which brings us to our second point. Who were these men looking for? Well, they tell us here in Matthew 2:2, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. They'd seen the star, they'd studied it, they'd opened their books, so to speak, concluding that this star belonged to the king of the Jews. That this star was not just any star, but it was a royal star. They must have researched the Hebrew books of the Old Testament, and they may have come from Babylon, where Daniel lived, as I said earlier. They may have seen the prophecies of Daniel himself. And maybe their hearts began to be thrilled at those words of that wisest man in the history of Babylon. Are they going to be fulfilled in our day? They were looking for a king to worship, for a divine king. And so Matthew tells us that they arrived at Herod's place, where the chief priests were called in to tell Herod that the ruler of Israel would be born in Bethlehem. And then we read verse 9 to 11. After listening to the king, they went on their way. Behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. God is moving a star across the sky to lead these people, non-Jews, Gentiles, to this house. I mean, just see, I mean, we've seen it in little pictures and cute little drawings, but just realize what God is doing here. He's actually moving a star towards this house to guide them. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. When they saw this humble child living in this humble home, not in a palace, God's Old Testament's promises made them see beyond the poverty, the smallness, the humility of this little child. And they realized that he was worthy of worship. They fell down on their knees and worshiped the King. They recognized that it is the God of heaven who had placed the star in the sky. And I believe they understood this much, that this was his son, his royal son, the King of Kings. When they see the star and they're overjoyed, they enter in, they fall on the ground and worship a little child. They open their bags and give treasures to honor him as king. Are you seeing the faith of these strangers from afar? Do you see the glory? It's hard for us to understand because in our society we live in a world where the lowest of the low can poke fun and make fun of our rulers. We don't have a whole lot of respect for people that are higher and lower and all of that, but they lived in a time of honor and shame where people that were highly educated and rich and royal would never bow down to people living in little houses. They were here and the poor were there. And yet when these men saw the child, Jesus Christ, these rich men were not only seeing him as equals, but they fall down. They come to the dust as they realize this child is my king. I need to worship before this child whose mother is but a young lady and poor by all we can see and understand. God himself is drawing the nations to see his child, his king. After the shepherds of Israel, it is now the Magi from the east, these wise men that God calls into his courtroom, this little house in Bethlehem, so that they might worship his son. There was never a greater privilege that these men had than when they walked and crossed that threshold of that little home in Bethlehem. That they entered into the presence, the Son of God, and they knew it. These men found the promised Messiah, not yet recognized by many, but they saw it. And they worshiped him because God has shown through the Word and through the star that this is the one that was promised, the Ancient of Days, that would become the King of Kings. Which brings us to our third point. Who did these men found? Well, I want to draw back and I want us to see the bigger picture. Because I think this is what Matthew wants us to see. Because for us, we're so familiar to it. It's such a familiar story that it is at the danger of missing the story altogether. But the way Matthew describes it, you have this humble home where these mighty rich people, these wise people, are humbly bowing before this little child. And Matthew wants us to see that these wise men were not merely coming to see a king, but the king. It was the God King who became man, the Ancient of Days, the Son of God, the one of whom in the East it was revealed. Remember, Daniel was in the East when it was revealed that this great stone that was made loose, not by human hand, would come down and crush the image that Nebuchadnezzar had seen, that this kingdom would become the greatest kingdom of all. And now God is gathering people from where those dreams took place and where they were revealed to a king in the East. Those wise men were now coming to Israel to see an offspring of David, to see a little boy and worship, to recognize this is no ordinary king. This is the God King. This is the one promised in Psalm 2. I will tell of the decree that the Lord said to me, "You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." That's being revealed in Matthew 2. Do you see it? The ends of the earth, the wise from the East, which often in the Bible is described as the ends of the earth, are coming to pay homage to a Jewish boy, Jesus. Jesus was and is the ruler promised in Psalm 2. The wise men are those who listen to the call of Psalm 2, 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest to be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. They're bowing down, taking refuge in a little child, because He's the Son of God, the King of Kings. The wise men listen, and they represent the first public worshipers from among the nations. These wise men took refuge in the kingdom of this little boy, the King of the Jews. Beloved, the King of Psalm 2 has come. He was born in a manger. He grew up in a humble home in Bethlehem. The wise men came to His house and worshipped, for they knew that He was the King of Kings, the one who would bring peace on earth, the one who restored the relationship between God and man, not just for the Jews, yes, for the Jew first, but also for the Gentiles. And so after the Jewish shepherds had come, now it is the turn for the Gentiles also to be represented as they come to the King and worship and rejoice. For He has come to gather a people to God that make peace with the Father through this boy that would become the one Savior of the world. So the question and the application to us this morning is this: who should we look for? We don't have a star rising. We don't have a house in Bethlehem we can go to. It's been on the news this morning that Bethlehem skips Christmas this year because the situation of war in Bethlehem. But there is no baby in Bethlehem for us to go to. The houses in Bethlehem don't carry a little child that will save the world. We don't have to travel to Bethlehem. We don't even have to bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh to this king. But we have the eternal Word, the Bible, that declares the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that He is born the Savior of the world. And this Word is a living Word that calls to you and me this morning to travel not with our feet, but with our heart to the King of Kings. Not to an earthly home, but to a heavenly home. Not to the mother who was called Mary, but to the God, the creator of the world, to come to his house and bow down before him, to find refuge in him. For when he grew up, he revealed that he is the Son of God indeed by many miracles, by many wonders, and by the message he proclaimed, fulfilling every last one of the prophecies that were pointing towards him all over the Old Testament, revealing that he indeed is the Son of God, the Messiah of the Jews that is bringing in the nations into the salvation of eternal life. This one calls to us this morning. This one is the King of Kings that says, come and make peace with God and with man through me. Find refuge in me, for blessed is the one who takes refuge in Jesus Christ. Not to travel, but to open the eyes of your heart and to see that he came for your soul, not for himself, but for you. That he came into the world to become like you, to struggle with the pain of this life like you struggle, but to come and die for your sins, by which you have caused war between you and God, so that he doesn't have to break you in judgment, but so that he could be broken and take your judgment. The Savior of the world was born. We are invited to come to the light of God's Son, the light of the world promised by angels, visited by the wise men, sent from heaven to be your Savior. You who hears my voice this morning, you who have been able to read these words in the Bible, you with your life, maybe of regrets, maybe of pain, maybe of frustration, maybe of anger, maybe of shame, you, human, broken, at war, maybe with your own heart, maybe even with your family, with God. Jesus came to make peace between you and God, mankind, and even with your own heart, by cleansing it and renewing you. God became man so that one day you don't have to be judged for your sin, but you can travel not to a physical star, but to a light that is eternal in heaven. As the book of Revelation closes the history of God's word, that a light will dawn in the new heavens and the new earth that will not be the light of the sun, but the light of the glory of God, that will reflect and bring light to all those who have come to Jesus on earth. And so the invitation is to us this morning. Have you come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can I say it this way? Have you become a wise man, a wise woman, a wise child who has followed the light of God's word to see the King of Kings? And as you have entered into the truth of God's word, and as you've seen Christ revealed through the truth of Scripture, if you come to lay down on your knees before him and worship him and recognize him as the King, giving not your treasures but simply your life to be his, so that you could belong to the great King. That's why he came. Come today. Amen. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to worship you, O King of Kings. O Father, I pray that you would rend the heavens, that you would show us your glory. O Father, that we even now we would see the Son seated on the right-hand side of the Father. speak to us more and reveal to us the wonder of the King of Kings. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.